Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Push My Buttons Games podcast, episode 56. We just pretty much got not a big topic this time, but we got some news for you, and then
news. Playing.
First off, we introduce ourselves.
Yeah, it's me. It's Luke. I'm here.
You're
next, sir.
Hi, everyone. It's Dungeon Master Mike, and I am adventuring in the lands between on Elden Ring. And I'll be playing it as we are recording, and I'm just grinding, and I've already screamed into the mic because I had died and dropped 30,000 souls. So, or not souls, runes are what they're called. So yeah, Dungeon Master Mike.
This is technically the second time that we've done this. The first time was when we were playing Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Oh yeah.
Which was also fun. Captain Platinum, go ahead.
Yeah, Captain Platinum is here this week as well.
And we have a first-time guest.
Yeah,
that's you.
That's me. yeah, you can call me Priceless.
Yeah. So before we go into the news, I have to ask if any of you guys have watched the Halo show.
Oh, no. It's out already?
It came out yesterday.
I thought it was like a year out from production.
No.
Oh my gosh, I have to go see it.
Yeah, have either of Jamie?
I have not.
Nope.
I don't think very many people have seen
me.
It.
Just me.
How is it? Because we talked about that last time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the world that they build in it looks really, really cool. It looks because at first they're showing like this outlying world, think like episode 7, like Jakku, where Rey's at, like when she's in the what's it, like the marketplace, right, where there's kind of all these different aliens, kind of like but they all have that same kind of clothing look, like they're just holding everything together as long as they can. That's kind of where this one opens up at, but it's just all humans, but it's got a distinct feel, and I actually really liked it. And it's basically they're saying that the Spartans and all those guys, you know, they're just trying to take over these planets for resources, and they keep like all the Covenant stuff is just like boogeyman stories, and they're not really real. And then same with the Spartans, they're kind of like the boogeyman as well. And then this outpost gets attacked by the Covenant, and it is so brutal. Like, I was shocked, like people getting impaled and just getting
pieces
and blood everything getting sprayed like everywhere. I was like, whoa.
Well, I mean, that's Halo, right? I mean, I think I've only played probably like 30 minutes of any Halo game.
Right.
So, I mean, but that's Halo. That's kind of what you would expect.
Yeah, it was even a little more graphic than I thought it would be. And then Spartans show up. There's like a few of them. You got Master Chief and some of the other ones, and they're, you know, kicking ass, and you get to see the guns and the armor, and they do stuff like shield recharging, and it, like, you get a lot of sound effects from the game, and it's pretty cool. One thing that came out of nowhere is there's a bunch of build up for stuff, and Master Chief takes his helmet off in the very first episode.
Well, they're not. Well, I mean, they can't really.
And well, it's just something that's never been done.
Yeah, in the games, but
yeah,
like
we said last week, they didn't play the games at all. They had no idea.
Right, but I guess the point that I was trying to get at, I bet you they knew. But if they did it, if he didn't take off his helmet, it would have been like the Mandalorian,
right,
all over again with like the faceless hero. Because I haven't kept up on the Mandalorian. Have we seen his face yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they did it very well. Like it I was just like, huh, that's what they did. Neat. Like I wasn't outraged or anything like that. It was just like, oh, okay, neat. That's a thing that happened. But yeah, it looked great. Like it was, all the different production companies that were involved with this. So you had Amazon, you had Amblin, you know, Steven Spielberg's production company, Showtime as well. Like, there's like a whole bunch of different people that threw in on this, and you can tell. And it is obviously a different direction than the games, but the first episode was really good. I liked it.
What is it streaming on?
It's on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
So, yeah, but if you have Xbox Game Pass, you can watch the first, I think, 3 episodes for free on Game Pass. Or you get like a free trial or something like that for Paramount Plus to watch the new Halo stuff, which I thought was pretty cool.
All right.
Do you guys plan on watching it?
Yeah, I think so.
I would like to. I don't have Paramount Plus currently, so maybe I'll wait until there's a time when like the whole season's out and then get it for a month or so.
I mean, I've never been a big fan of Halo, so I probably won't watch it.
But you're a fan of violence, right?
I mean, yeah. But...
Space aliens.
Well, you twist my leg, I'll watch it.
I think you would like it. It's good. It's good. I like it.
Well, I just have a question. Like, when I reveal his face, was it like epic or was it just like a casual thing?
It's somewhere in between. It wasn't like
he wasn't sitting down in the cafeteria eating lunch, right?
No, it wasn't that. It was like a moment of like building trust with somebody to show that he's just a guy, not a, you know, legendary faceless killing machine. So kinda, but it wasn't like, you know, they didn't build up to it. It just kind of happened. So, yeah, there's that. Okay, we're going to talk about some news now. So, The Witcher, the next Witcher game is announced, and it will be in the Unreal 5 engine. So, CD Projekt Red have announced a new Witcher game in development with the current teaser, just snow and the logo. But it says The Witcher, a new saga begins, and the game marks a move from their own Red engine to the Unreal 5. At this point, details are primarily focused on the deal with Epic rather than what players might expect with the new Witcher. Calling this an exciting moment, CDPR explains this is the beginning of a multi-year strategic partnership with Epic Games, adding that it covers not only licensing but technical development of Unreal 5. The reason for this, they say, is to help the next version of Epic's ubiquitous engine to be tailored for open-world experiences. It's already been 7 years since the release of the last full Witcher game. Despite the game's regular updates and just released on every console forever and just keeps going. So there's no real details following the regarding the game or a time frame for the release. What do you guys think about this?
You want to go first, Captain Platinum?
Sure. I really haven't played a Witcher game. I have 3 and I've been wanting to play it. Other than that, I know it's a great game. Do you know, is it somewhat like Horizon Zero Dawn that I completed?
Yes.
Or?
I would say it's very close. I think Horizon Zero Dawn, the combat was more fluid. It was also... The Witcher is an RPG, right?
Right.
So even though it has RPG mechanics, it does flow fairly well, but I don't think it beats Horizon Zero Dawn in terms of, I guess, the amount of different types of actions you can do. Because part of the appeal of Horizon was like the versatility of her weapon set and move set and everything. But Witcher, it's pretty much like you have a build and you either tap a single button the entire time or can get a little bit more complicated depending on what you want to focus in. But yeah, it's similar. It's kind of the same open world with mini quests all over the place.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming. That's kind of what I was going for. I'll be interested to see how the new engine, how it does with that engine.
So right now, there are a few games that are announced to be using the Unreal 5. That Redfall game that's coming out, the one where they're fighting the vampires and stuff, that's supposed from Arkane Studios. Fortnite is actually going to be using it, obviously, because it's epic. The Matrix Awakens that came out last December, I believe. Dreamhouse the Game. Ill. It's another PC one. Echoes of the Dead, which is a PS5 game. Black Myth Wukong. It's coming out next year.
I'm excited for that one.
And Hellblade 2, Senua's.
Was the first one done in an Unreal Engine?
I don't know.
I'm not super in game engines and all that. I know what they are. I know what, like, the concept of them. But I wouldn't be able to pinpoint a specific game and be like, oh, that is Unreal 5. That's unless it was a marketing point, right? So Dragon Age was done in the Frostbite engine. Mass Effect was Andromeda, at least, was done in the Frostbite engine. And that was kind of like a big news story point. So I knew those engines. I wouldn't be able to point to any other engine and be like, oh, well, that's this engine or not.
Yeah, so then there's games that are rumored, like, I guess they haven't been officially confirmed, but most people believe that Mass Effect 4 and the new BioShock game, Outer Worlds 2 and State of Decay 3 are also set to be using the Unreal 5. Again, not 100% confirmed by the developers yet, but...
That's going to be a lot of money Epic's going to make.
Mm-hmm. What else? Because you were, Mr. Priceless, you were talking about the Unreal and Witcher 5. You got any thoughts on it?
So my thing's not so much like the engine that I'm more like worried about. I'm more worried about that, like, this kind of like how well like The Witcher 3 was, and kind of how like terribly like run with that Cyberpunk was done with. I'm just scared that they're gonna like try to be way too ambitious and like try to come down from that, like, or I guess try to come up from a low that they were kind of struggling on beforehand. But I guess as long as they're not too ambitious, it shouldn't be bad. But I guess, I don't know, I'm kind of skeptical.
So I have a question for you guys, though. So with this announcement, you know, Witcher 3, like I said, has been one of those games that just continuously gets released over and over and over and over again. So, this is my question. Out of all of these games that I'm going to list to you, which one do you think will come out first? We have the new Witcher game, the new Elder Scrolls game, the new GTA game, or the new Dragon Age game?
You picked all the ones that are in development hell right now.
Jeez.
It depends on what current release stops making money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or when the money flow is not as high as they need it to be, then they'll release the new games. I think that, I don't know. Probably the Witcher one.
Yeah.
But the new Witcher game is probably my bet.
Okay.
I'll go with Dragon Age.
You know that game has been canceled like three... Not canceled. It's been restarted three times.
I know. And that's why it's my horse in the game, man. It's going to come out strong.
I'd probably go with The Witcher as well, because I don't know. Like, that's... because I know GTA is not going to, like... I don't... Like, they're not even supposed to go until, like, 2024, so...
Right. So... I honestly think it's going to be Dragon Age as well, because we just got the announcement of Witcher, and so they haven't even done anything yet. Elder Scrolls, 3 years ago, we got a logo, and they still haven't released Starfield yet. So that's pushed back even more. GTA is still doing stuff with GTA Online.
Yeah.
But Dragon Age is the only thing I've seen anything from, again, 3 years ago, but like more than just the title logo. They had like a whole little trailer put together. So, but again, it's been canceled and picked up and pushed back, and they've changed the people in charge of it. They've left. It's it's been a whole thing, but I still think they actually have material, so I think it'll be them. I think it's Dragon Age. That's my bet.
Dang, you had to copy me, man.
Yeah. Aren't you glad I let you go first?
Can I say something on the engine change really quick? Because I was thinking about what Jeremy said, and I would agree with the fact that like I'm worried about it. But actually I kind of have the opposite opinion about the state of its release. I mean, like, I think Jeremy, I think you got reason, right? Because games nowadays are notoriously buggy. But I kind of want to, like, remind everybody, Witcher 3, when that game came out, which it also uses the Red Engine, Witcher 3, when that came out, was incredibly buggy. It took patches upon patches in order to fix it. And now people seem to have forgotten how bad it was. And you had Cyberpunk 2077. And then Mass Effect Andromeda, which used the Frostbite engine, there's videos that people still laugh at nowadays. I think when a game studio uses their own engine, it's a monetary reason. It's not necessarily hey, we got better technology, we can do more stuff. It's that they don't want to pay the licensing fees that would be required to use a different company's engine. But the disadvantage with that is you don't have the customer support. You don't have – and by customer support, I mean the game studio going to the game engine creator for support. You don't have vast documentation. You can't necessarily share knowledge. And then if there are problems – then the game studio has to go in and fix their game engine before they can fix the game. I believe that was a huge problem with, I think that was the Dragon Age 3 issue with Frostbite. And so I think with Unreal 5, all these studios are going to create a game that's a lot more put together and a lot less buggy. And I think it may actually decrease the development times. I think if it fails, as Jeremy fears, I think it's going to be more because it's going to feel too different than their previous games. I think that's my biggest worry, right? Like, I think it will be less buggy, but I think there will be more aspects of the game that will feel canned. Like pre-packaged that will be similar to other games. And that's the thing I can't really like quantify too much unless you pay or play a vast amount of games developed in Unreal 5 and you start understanding, oh wait, the way how I move is the same between all these games or the way how these graphics look or whatever it may be. But that's kind of where my worry lies. But as far as bugs go, I think it will actually come out cleaner. But that's just my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Okay, next little bit of news. So Epic launched the next season of Fortnite and announced that for the following 2 weeks, all money it makes from in-game purchases in the popular Battle Royale game will be donated to charities supporting humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. So just 24 hours later, with 13 days remaining, Epic has revealed that it has already raised an eye-popping $36 million. In a blog post yesterday, Epic's official news page, the company announced plans to donate proceeds for all real money purchases made in Fortnite between March 20th through April 3rd. According to Epic, this includes purchasing of V-Buck packs and cosmetic packs sold for real world money. Epic says proceeds from retail in-store purchases of V-Buck cards will also be included, but only for those redeemed in-game during the two-week window. Xbox is also donating all proceeds made in the Xbox version of Fortnite for the next 2 weeks as well.
That's insane.
Right?
100% of their profit? Like, am I interpreting that right?
Yep.
I mean, like, they're going to take their overhead costs. They're going to have to. I don't want the developers to go without money. But holy crap, good job on Epic. I think I may like Fortnite a little bit more now.
You gonna play it though?
Nope. Hell no.
Like just
I don't want to die to a kid screaming about getting his chocolate milk. I don't. That's not my style. But I am. I like Epic a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is just a PR move, but I like to think that they're doing it kind of just out of
right.
You know, altruism. Perhaps I'm a little bit too cynic for that, but even like the fact that they're doing something like that, no matter the reason, I think is great.
Mm-hmm. What about you other two? What do you guys got thoughts on it?
It's impressive. You don't usually hear about someone giving up all their profits. It's a good move for them, in my mind.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool, but it still doesn't convince me to play even for like that.
Right.
Like,
period of time. Yeah, I won't be playing.
It's like just for that period of time, but not. That doesn't convince me.
You know what? Actually, I wonder the last time Epic tried to do something like this try to do a good cause, but it was actually just kind of like a marketing thing, was that instance where they did Martin Luther King in Fortnite. Right?
Right.
Remember that?
Right. The experience.
Yeah, and then like the Martin Luther King Foundation came out and was like, "Hey, you know, it wasn't us that they partnered with." Or no, it was Martin Luther King's daughter, Bernice King, and she suggested, "Hey, you should donate money instead of do something like this." I would have preferred that. And I think a lot of people had criticized. I think they also ran into so many problems with it's a bunch of kids playing your game. They're not going to be reverent for something like that. So I think they just kind of, I almost wonder if they kind of just took notes and was like, you know what? Next thing that we try to do, maybe we'll just donate proceeds instead of put resources into trying to come up with something somber and important.
Mm-hmm.
And then have kids break the emote rules on it because they think it's funny, you know? So I wonder if that's like a result of them taking notes.
Yeah, it could be. Remember how we were talking about GTA?
Mm-hmm.
So GTA Plus is GTA's online new monthly subscription on PS5 and Series X. The online will soon have a monthly subscription service for both new and existing players, Rockstar Games announced on Friday. The service, GTA Plus, will come with a variety of benefits for the price of $5.99 per month, including exclusive rewards. Each month, subscribers will get new items, bonuses such as in-game cash, upgrades, special discounts. GTA Plus members will also be able to buy even better shark cards to get more bang for their buck on microtransaction purchases. GTA Plus is exclusive to GTA Online players on the PS5 and Series X, where the game launched earlier this month alongside GTA 5. They want money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I'm not surprised. I honestly think online games should go with the monthly subscription model instead of microtransactions and stuff. In my opinion, that's what killed the Old Republic. Star Wars The Old Republic, not like an actual government system, but I can see it making the government system fail.
Right.
That game I thought was great. But when they started doing the microtransactions and things like that, for me, that kind of wrecked the game. So, right. I don't know. I'm just blowing hot air right now, but I think online games probably benefit more from doing a monthly subscription if they want to keep paying their developers to maintain it.
Well, I guess the question is, do any of you guys actually play GTA Online?
Nope.
Not for like
no. Money sink.
What was that?
I don't play. I haven't played the game or the online.
And then what'd you say, Jeremy?
I haven't played GTA online since like it re-released for the PS4.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I dabbled in it a little bit. The GTA games aren't my aren't really my thing, but I always, anytime there's like a new release, or like, I think I played it when it came out on the Series X for the Game Pass. They had it for a little bit and I played it there.
Well, and the big, okay. And the big thing that kills GTA 4, GTA Online, at least from what I've heard, like since I stopped playing, is like literally, especially if you're like a new player, or just like a reoccurring, like, oh, I come back every couple months, you're pretty much screwed because all the people who buy like all their money and like buy everything. So
yeah, just a busted in-game economy.
Yeah. So they started doing like a, unless they like re-release a new, like a whole new, like online system, like when they release like GTA 6, if that ever happens, mm-hmm. and they reset everything, like I would say that's the only like benefit, like of a subscription based thing, if they do that.
Yeah, that makes
sense. You're kind of screwed at this point.
Right. So next, Mike,
what's up?
Tell us about the Bloodborne PS1 demake.
Oh my gosh. It literally is an art piece, because I am such a Souls fanboy. There were, okay, the PS1 days were kind of like magical days that, you know, you got a lot of off the wall, weird games. And oddly enough, Bloodborne as a concept, I think would have done really well on the PlayStation 1. And apparently I'm not the only one who felt that way, because for years, there have been, I don't know how big this team is, but they did a fan project. This group of developers just did a fan project of making a PlayStation 1 version of Bloodborne. And it's super interesting to watch, because Bloodborne right now, being a game that is 7 years old, came out in 2015. It still holds up. The graphics still are nice. The combat is still tight. Even though now it is last gen, it still holds up to current gen games. But the PlayStation 1 demake that they made, they even threw in like PlayStation 1 mechanics, because the PlayStation controller doesn't have as many inputs that a PlayStation 4 controller has. So they had to come up with new systems that seem more archaic. But they designed essentially what was the first level in a PlayStation 1 graphic system retrograde appearance. And it's an art piece. It really is. I'm not interested in playing it, but it's an art piece.
Well, so the developers confirmed their next project, Bloodborne Kart. It's a racing game inspired by Bloodborne. So they confirmed that the Kart Racers development in a tweet Thursday, saying that their PS1 style throwback is real and will be coming out as soon as it's ready. The teaser shows a chunky polygonal hunter throwing on some goggles and approaching its Victorian era motorcycle in the style of the Akira anime and getting ready to race.
That's bonkers to me.
You know what's funny? I don't think I ever played many racing games on the PS1 that wasn't like Gran Turismo. So I wonder how this would feel, I guess.
You know, I'm hoping it's more like Mario Kart with Bloodborne power-ups and stuff like that instead of a Gran Turismo, which we'll talk about. That's a shit show.
Yeah.
But did you guys hear that Chocobo GP? Like wet the bed.
It's really,
yeah, which I'm super disappointed about. I'm a fan of Chocobo Dungeon and Chocobo Dungeon 2. I like kart racers. Unfortunately, Chocobo GP, along with it being a $60 game, it has free-to-play monetization practices. You can't buy that game for $60 and grind out all of the rewards in time for them to cycle out by the next month. You have to kind of buy the season passes, which don't guarantee that you get all the rewards or the daily login bonuses, but it helps your progress in the game go fast enough to get, like, for example, special characters like Cloud and Squall before they get cycled out and the FOMO kicks in, because you don't know when these characters are coming back. And mm-hmm. because of that, it is horrendous to play. I've seen game footage because that was a game I was interested in playing, but it's really sad. Chocobo GP is not a super great game to just sit back and do a racer on. You have to spend a lot more money than the $60
mm-hmm.
to progress. But that's just me ranting right now.
So there is also a new Ghostbusters game coming to PC and consoles. So the Ghostbusters game has been announced, called Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. And it's a 4v1 multiplayer shooter where four Ghostbusters can take on one player controlling the ghost. The game's official description reads, as a Ghostbuster, join with other Ghostbusters to chase and trap ghosts in museums, prisons, hotels, and more, and capture the ghosts before they can fully haunt the areas. Or, as the ghost, hide, sneak, surprise, scare, and of course slime Ghostbusters and civilians until everything has gone completely spooky. Use trickery, deception, and ectoplasm to gain the upper hand and drive the Ghostbusters out. And you do have... Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson doing voices, but also Leslie Jones from the remake of Ghostbusters. Yeah. What do you guys think about this?
Whew, that's a tough one. That's kind of a new genre of games, right? A one versus team. It's been a while. It's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think of the Friday the 13th or the Predator Hunting Grounds.
Yeah, yeah, you got Prey. The current one that's out right now that features licenses from so many different horror icons. I think it's Dead by Daylight. It's kind of the same thing. Dragon Ball is going to have a game in the same style,
right?
Which I can't wait for. I feel like I would put in a ton of hours in that game whenever it comes out. But I don't know. I don't really get super nostalgic for Ghostbusters. I think they've got enough material from everything from the movies to the cartoons. I think they could even throw in characters from the new Ghostbusters, right? With the goth girl that was in it. And I think it could work, but are there enough Ghostbuster fans to make it profitable? I don't know.
Jamie, are you a Ghostbusters guy? I can't remember.
No, I mean, I enjoy the first movie and stuff. I'm not like hardcore into it. I mean, I enjoy the movies. I played the new game and I saw the new movie, but yeah, I'm not super.
I liked
hardcore.
The new movie. I thought it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah, it was a nice wrap up. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Jeremy?
I'm kind of like neutral on it because it's not really something I'd gravitate towards. So,
right. For me, it's and I listeners know my the forced multiplayer stuff, where like usually I am not a if it's a multiplayer only game, I'm pretty much out.
Are you going to do that with Dragon Ball? Dragon Ball the Breakers?
As I watched it, there's really been nothing there that's like, it looks interesting, but it doesn't look like it's not Xenoverse 3, right? That's what I want. I want Xenoverse 3. Please just give me Xenoverse 3. And every time there is a Dragon Ball announcement, and I get excited and it's not the game that I want. Not saying that it's going to be a bad game. It's just not what I'm looking forward to. And kind of on that, I sent a meme to all you guys a while ago, with the quote where people don't want to play single player games anymore.
Oh my gosh, that made me laugh.
And then they put up the concurrent players on Steam for Battlefield and Elden Ring. Battlefield was 2,615 people in game, and Elden Ring was 772,820 in game. I just please, like, guys, you don't need to make multiplayer only games anymore. before I get to the next or the last couple stories that I have, guys, there are special edition Xbox controllers.
Oh my gosh. I know where this Sonic is going.
Sonic the Hedgehog and their furry, a red and a blue furry Xbox controller.
Oh my gosh.
Give me all your hate, please. I feed on it.
What if it gets dandruff? What are you going to do about it, Luke?
I'm going to brush it.
What if your girls get a hold of the controller and they braid it? Like, what are you going to do?
You will walk in on me holding the controllers and, like, brushing them gently like a Bond villain, and then I'll turn around in the chair.
What if...
And I'll be like, oh, someone wants to play Fusion Frenzy?
What if you have a party and you bring your controller out and then you wake up the next day from getting drunk and you see that it's covered in orange Cheeto dust? What are you going to do? Wash it?
I wonder if it's removable. I wonder if it's got like a removable skin that you can wash for exactly that reason.
I don't know. It's just weird to me.
It's ridiculous, but I'm
part of another Discord channel. One of my favorite video game content creators, I'll just do a shout out. Her name's Lady Pelvic. She's kind of a smaller creator. I'm on her Discord, and there are a good amount of furries on the Discord. The people that I'm really good friends with, and they were just so excited for these controllers, and everyone shat all over their excitement.
So here's a little thing. Senior Priceless there is also a giant Sonic the Hedgehog fan, so I'm not alone.
Would you buy a controller that's covered in Sonic hair? Priceless. Would you?
So I would not a Sonic one, but as soon as they come out with a movie that includes Shadow, that might be a different story.
Yeah, and the controller's a gun.
It's a furry gun,
but it's furry. Ah, okay, I'm out. That's where I lost it. Because now, not thinking of where the fur went. Nope, never mind.
In Luke's defense, Hayes' kids, like, he doesn't need there to be a party to get Cheeto dust all over that. Like, his daughter will just add it on there.
It's true. I'll put them in a glass case as his break and break when you want to go when you got to go fast. Use it only for Sonic Hero or Sonic Forces in the new the Sonic Frontiers, the open world game. Be perfect. Captain Platinum, if I bought you these, would you use them? I know you don't have an Xbox, but would you use them to PC game?
I would not.
Excellent. I will take that off my shopping list then.
Excellent. It's okay. Gotta be weird. Like, what do you do as your hands get sweaty and then you're like, you have to wash them after so long?
Right.
Are you gonna microban them every so often and be like, do you have to get out like your comb for like your Chewbacca fur and like
right.
comb it out, get the knots out from you like getting all mad and, yeah. And what if you throw it into the wall? You know, you throw your controller into the wall and
What happens when you got sweaty hands too?
Sweaty hands.
Just get all goopy.
You just have to have designated gloves just for that controller.
Yeah, fingerless gloves. guys, on this what feels like the 1097th episode of Nintendo Gets Some Cool Shit Taken Off the Internet. And this time we're not even talking about like a tribute game or like fan art. It's a book, an old book. So last week, there were some images of the Super Mario 64, clear guidebook, a tome released in Japan alongside the game that was notable for the fact that instead of telling players where to go, a series of really cool real world dioramas were commissioned to serve as 3D maps. And it was cool and everyone loved it. But again, to be clear, the book was released in 1996 in Japan and was never released in the West. And the only way you can purchase a copy is if you have the cash, which is hundreds on resale for eBay or Yahoo, or this scan. But now you can't do that anymore. Guys, don't you love Nintendo?
I don't understand Nintendo. Why? This is only helping them. Why? I don't understand. I don't know why they get so trigger happy with the law. I know they ignore it forever. Yeah, after they
ignore it forever. Since 1995.
You know, it's so weird. It's really odd to me that companies don't want the free PR. They would rather go for a complete 100% control over their image and how they distribute their media, right? Like how they got laughed at when they started taking down people's videos of just their music being posted on YouTube, and then out comes Square Enix by being like, oh, here's all of our music in YouTube. Like, everyone loved it, and they made Spotify playlists, and there's someone who curates, you know, you need to go to the gym? Here's some Square Enix music tunes to get you pumped if you're fans of our games. Stuff like that. You know, like, I don't know why Nintendo can't just learn.
So my only thought on this is every time Nintendo does some shit like this, it's because they're preparing to do something like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like all the ROMs and stuff that got taken down. A year and a half later, we had Nintendo Switch Online, where you can play all the old 8-bit and 16-bit games.
And it sucks.
Got to pay us $20 a year. So, but this one is weird, because it's just a strategy guide. Are you going to reprint this Super Mario 64 strategy guide and resell it in some commemorative edition?
Why, yes, Luke. That's partial earnings that they could be getting anytime now. I don't know.
Nintendo doesn't even put their games on sale.
Either that, or they'll re-release a mint condition of that guide and for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
I don't understand. I've said that so many times. I just do not get Nintendo. Release Mother 3 already.
Mike,
what's up?
Let everyone know about what's been going on with Gran Turismo 7.
Oh, my. Okay. Gran Turismo 7 would have been the racing game that I probably would have gotten back into, or would have gotten me back into the genre. I'm primed for racing games, guys. Like, I go through phases of different games. I think Souls games will always be my bread and butter, but, you know, fighting games I got into for a while, and now I'm ready to jump into racing games. And I was looking forward to Gran Turismo. Apparently, it is one of those games that is so monetized, like Chocobo GP, but it's even worse. Really quick, before I get into it, Jeremy and Captain Platinum, do you know anything about the monetization that's happening with Gran Turismo 7?
I do not.
No idea.
Okay. So, a typical monetization strategy that every single game uses is a premium currency, right? You can't just simply buy things, items, characters, in Gran Turismo cases, cars, with dollars. You have to buy their currency, and their currency is always slightly off-put from real-world currency, right? So it's like, a dollar, for example, gets you 80 currency dollars. And if you want to spend 100 currency dollars on some item, you have to pay $2. It also tricks people to not think clearly in terms of the money that they are spending. It's a level of separation between that and responsible thinking. Gran Turismo 7 takes it to a whole new level. Someone thought it would be a great idea to make the cars worth the same amount of money that they would in the real world. So if you have, I don't know supercars. I know some things like
let's say a Corvette like a Corvette. $190,000.
Yeah, and so then in the game in Gran Turismo, it takes 197,000 Gran Turismo bucks. And where $5 gets you something 35,000 Gran Turismo bucks. And then $20 is the next price step up, and that gets you.
So you're basically playing almost $50
to get a single car that's worth $15, because your only option are $5 purchases and $20 purchases. It's really offset. It's really wonky. And that was their real quote in saying, this is the reason why our currency seems so skewed towards the thousands and the hundreds of thousands and even the millions in a few cars, because they wanted their currency to represent real world dollars when you purchase the car, which is just completely asinine. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like it does not, that doesn't make any sense to me, because no one's going to be really like following the magazines to be like, oh, that's going to be worth this much Gran Turismo bucks. And then nothing's going to stop Sony from changing how much their Gran Turismo, I don't really know if it's called Gran Turismo bucks. I'm just calling it that.
Yeah. Credits. I think is
like
what
credits.
They call them.
Like no one, like Sony isn't going to keep tabs on itself about like how much its credits are worth, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like Ferrari can say, oh, we're going to release a new car for $100. So every man can buy one of our cars. Sony would up the price to where you still have to pay the same amount of money to get that car. Mm.
And I have a coworker who's been playing this game, and he just says that because you can earn credits in the game by playing the races, but the amount that you get for the races are nowhere near what you need to be able to keep getting the new cars, to keep getting the credits. Because each class, you class up, and then you have harder races, which you need a better car for. But you can play and race every single one of those races and get first place, and you don't have anywhere near enough to buy the car that you need for the next, like part of challenges. So that's how it is. And then they just did another update in their game.
And it broke the game.
Yes, but this was their apology. They said that they're going to issue 1 million credits to every player, as well as dramatically change the car economy to help make amends. And here is their quote. Tell me if you have heard this line before. Thank you for your continued support and feedback on Gran Turismo 7. Your voices have not gone unheard. Every single development company.
We have been listening.
We hear you.
It's just PR.
We hear you, and we know what you want. More multiplayer maps. No, that is not what anyone has want. Anyway.
You know, that
is what
that's
you want, Luke.
Something. Go ahead, Captain Platt. I was hearing you.
Oh, I was just telling Luke, it is what he wants. He just doesn't know it.
I just don't know it. Right. They gotta force it in my face till I know that I want it.
It's also a completely online-only game, mm-hmm. even if you're playing single-player mode. So when the last patch, what I was talking about, when the last patch came on, it caused some parts of the game to crash. So the game was unavailable for like a period of 30 hours
It said it went for maintenance on March 17th and didn't come back up for over a day and a half later.
Right. So, like, that's a thing that really sucks, because you buy this game and you want to play it and you're like, oh, I got to grind. And it's just kind of a shitty situation overall. And you can't even play the game because it's broken.
So it said players then review bombed GT7 on Metacritic following the outage and changes. And to win them back is when they said they're going to give them 1 million credits, which is equivalent to $15 for free until April 25th. That's it, though. And they're going to add more content to make grinding for credits better. So instead of upping the rewards, they're just like, oh, here's more things you can do to grind.
I don't know, dude. That's just lame.
This is why I play Forza.
I've heard Forza is amazing.
It is.
And I really want to possibly make that my racing game of choice.
I was a Gran Turismo guy when I was playing it on, you know, PS1, PS2.
Same with me.
But then on 360, when Forza Motorsport 3 came out, I was like, oh, this is better. This is better. Like it feels better. Like I just remember in Gran Turismo, when you bump into other cars, it felt like you were a bubble and they were a bubble and you went bonk, bonk, you know, you just kind of bounced off each other. Mm-hmm. But in Forza, you slam into a car, guess what? Their entire rear fender is going to get bent because you hit them at 92 miles an hour. But yeah, that one, I cannot say enough good things about the Forza Motorsport. The Horizon is kind of hit or miss with me, the Forza Horizon, but Forza Motorsport is every time. And I'm glad they're taking their time releasing this next one.
What version is on Xbox Game Pass?
I believe it is six or seven. It was the one that they released for the Xbox One. They have not released the new one for the Series X yet.
Okay, because that may be the one that I end up trying.
It's very good. It's very good. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
See, mine's Burnout Paradise.
Burnout's good. Burnout's good.
I didn't get into the Need for Speeds. There was one that was like okay, but Burnout Paradise was like the one that I actually loved.
I think the Need for Speed that I played was Need for Speed Pro Street. But yeah, I like more of like the confines of it being racing, less open world driving around stuff, because I'm terrible at that stuff. But like when I'm on a track, nail it.
And if I remember right,
you get at a particular track and you just own everyone on it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We used to have like my brother would come over and our friends, and we would, you know, pick old like classic muscle cars, and then we would try and race each other on like this big Formula One track. It was great fun. What about you, Mr. Priceless? You got any racing games that you like?
Ugh, man, I mean, besides Mario Kart, does that count? I haven't, not since like Midnight Club back on like the GameCube and the PS2 and stuff like that.
We will have this battle royale later, but I'm just going to drop this hot take right now, and we will gather our armies and converge at a later date, and I will die on this hill. The Sonic racing games are better than the Mario Kart.
Jesus.
Wow. All right. Gather your troops, and we will meet at a to-be-determined date.
Wait, does it have to be in a car that it counts as a racing game when it comes to Sonic? Because technically Sonic Adventure 2 battle.
I would say yes to even it out. If you get in a cart with four wheels and drive.
Which you can do in Adventure 2 battle, I'm not gonna lie.
All right. Okay. I have this is from Polygon. This is a list of the 25 greatest video game losers. And this isn't a derogatory list, right? These are characters and games and stuff that everybody loves, but it sucks to be them, or they can never, you know, they can never win. You know, life just sucks for them, but we all love them. So it's not a derogatory list. All right?
Okay. I can get behind that. Kind of like, it sucks to be you.
But we love you.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay. Number 25 is Bottles from Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie.
Oh, poor Bottles.
Number 24, Lydia from Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim. She's here to carry our burdens.
Yep.
The character that can never die and has unlimited inventory.
Probably been Fusto rod across the map countless times.
Yes. So then we have number 23 is Emil from Nier Automata and Nier Replicant and Nier.
I have not played Nier Replicant / Nier Gestalt. Mm-hmm. I've only played Nier Automata, and I guess on my playthrough, because I didn't really like Nier Automata.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like my game skipped all of Emil's content.
Oh no!
I only spoke to him twice in the game, and it was disjointed dialogue. But I kind of know his story, and feel like he's a pretty bad loser.
Okay, number two, we have Waddle Dees from the Kirby series, which sounds like it really sounds like someone wanted to say Waddle Dees nuts. Which, if Pat was on, she would probably have everything to tell us about why this is a great loser. Number 21, Dan Hibiki from the Street Fighter series.
Okay.
Good old Dan. Go through all these really interesting characters, and then there's Dan. Monkey from the Monkey Ball series is number 20, where his literal job is to die. That would suck. Another one that would have been great with Panda Pad on is number 19, Billy Cohen from Resident Evil Zero. Number 18 is Pokey and Porky Minch from the Earthbound Mother series.
He's not necessarily a loser. I mean, he kind of loses the beginning of Earthbound, and that puts him on like a bad pass.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like the overall. Whatever. Mother 3 has been out. And if you're a fan, you're going to know the story.
Right.
He's the overall villain in Mother 3.
Mm-hmm. One who is not a villain is number 17, Captain Toad from Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker in Super Mario 3D World.
Nice.
Toad just can't catch a break most times. Number 16, the Grunts from the Halo series. They don't even want to be there. Number 15, Peter Dinklage's ghost from Destiny. number 14, Jojamart from Stardew Valley.
He's a loser.
Number 13, Lorenz from Fire Emblem Three Houses, which okay. I've never been into. My brother plays Fire Emblem, so I should have got his take on that one, but I was like, okay, neat. Number 12, Brewster from the Animal Crossing series. Number 11, Johnny Sasakai from Metal Gear Solid series.
He ended up marrying Meryl, so that's a win.
Number 10, Tingle from the Legend of Zelda series.
Okay.
Number 9, Alexios from Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Because yep. They straight up came out and said Cassandra is the canon. Alexios does not exist.
Well, yeah, because Cassandra's voice actress killed it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely mm-hmm.
She's awesome.
Understood the assignment. She was just great.
There is a really good video out there of both of the voice actors walking through Greece and saying old Greek curse words at each other, and it's hilarious. So number 8 is Bowser from the Mario franchise for obvious reasons. Number 7, Glass Joe from the Punch-Out series.
No, I would actually argue that one.
Okay. All right?
Because if you play Punch-Out and you play Glass Joe, he actually has like 9,000 losses and one win. The loser is the guy who Glass Joe won against. Whoever that is.
That guy.
Because that Glass Joe doesn't even attack, and he still won. So whoever that
someone
loser
just missed
was,
a lot and then fell asleep.
Oh, yeah. So whoever that loser was, they're my number 7. Sorry.
Number 6, the rival trainer from the Pokemon series.
Okay.
It's so broad.
Yeah, every single one of them. Every single one of them is number 6 on this list.
Well, that doesn't count, because technically Gary became a Pokemon champion before you, so... I'm sorry, I mean Blue.
Yeah, but then he lost.
That's true.
To fair. You. Your
in fact,
whole
he lost
thing
every,
is to beat them.
He lost every single battle against you.
But then you become like best friends, technically, in Sun and Moon.
As he plots your demise. Number 5, Zagoras from Hades.
Oh, yeah.
Number 4, Samus from the Metroid series, because she was all powerful, and then she loses all of her power, and then has to spend every single game getting all of the power back, just to lose it in the very next game and start all over again.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
Number 3, Waluigi.
Yep.
Oh,
The only one who can't get in any game other than being like a selecting person or like a backup character.
Like in a legitimate game, right?
Yeah, he's in Ghostbusters.
Well, Luigi, right?
Waluigi?
Oh, Waluigi. Sorry. I thought you said just Luigi. Yeah, Waluigi.
Oh, yeah, no, Waluigi.
Gotcha. My bad. I didn't hear the wah.
Number two, Sega.
Yep.
That's it. Just Sega. Because they had so much good going for them. And they took on the giant and then destroyed themselves. And number one is Mike.
That's me.
Playing I'm the number Elden one Ring. Dying hey, repeatedly. Really,
I mean, like, the article, it's saying, like, the player of any Souls game, right? Because the amount of times that you die and you have to constantly get back up. I died four times in the recording of this podcast episode. I've refrained from screaming into my mic. So I guess so. Yeah, I'm down with that. You, the player, are the loser when you play the Souls games. Number one.
Oh, man. Okay, that is all I have for news stuff. Let's wrap the episode up by talking about some of the games we've been playing. And we'll let Mr. Price, let's go first.
Ooh, would have put me on the spot.
Yep.
I've been attempting to play Elden Ring as well. There's so much to say about that, but there's so little at the same time.
What build are you using?
I started out as a samurai.
Okay, cool.
I was playing Arceus, but that game got really old really fast, so.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And Panda Pat talked me into getting it. She's like, you should get it. I was like, fine, I'll get it. And then I was like,
it's just so much work for like fine. Little to do.
It's fine.
Did you see the comparison? Did you see the comparison photos of Pokemon Legends Arceus compared to Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion?
Mm-mm.
And Oblivion's graphics way outperform Arceus in every way, shape, or form, from like the land design, everything. It was just, yeah. Arceus, I think, was a disappointment.
I mean, I didn't play Arceus for its like graphical phenomenal like achievements.
Right. You played it because you're a giant Pokemon fan.
Well,
right.
What? No.
I mean, and I think that says something about it. You're a giant Pokemon fan, and it got old to you.
Yeah, that's very heartbreaking.
So there's that.
It's just like there's so much. Like it's such a big space, but like so little to do. So the money just thing.
It's just big for the sake of being big. Like it's not a full fleshed out world.
Yeah, like if it was big and it was like a modern city like life situation, not just hey. We have nothing around besides Pokemon. We got nothing to do. Let's go look for them.
Right. Captain Platinum, what have you been playing?
I finished Horizon Zero Dawn, The Forbidden West. Or what is it? No, The Frozen Wilds. Sorry, that's what it is. The Frozen Wilds. I did all that stuff last weekend. And then I just played a little bit of Arceus. So I want to play The Forbidden West, but I have not gotten to that yet. One of my coworkers said he finished it and got the platinum. So he said the platinum on that one's pretty easy. So he said it didn't take too long. He said he enjoyed it. So
good.
I just want to take a break and play something else, and I don't want to go back to back.
Right, because that's a lot.
You know? Yeah. I think I ended it just over 100 hours on the end game clock, but you know,
oh
there's
my
time
gosh.
To wait. Well, I'll. Per like Sony though, it said I was at like 85 hours or 87 hours or something like that. The in-game timer, I think, is because I'll hit like the PlayStation button and let it sit on that home screen, and that keeps the timer going in the game because the game is active. And I was like, oh. So I've noticed that, but yeah, I didn't have too much time to game outside of that this week. So, but yeah, I have officially probably done with Horizon Zero Dawn. I probably will not do a new game plus run through. That would be the only trophy I'm missing for complete 100% to do the new game plus and new game plus with an ultra hard. But no, it was fun. It was interesting. The DLC added a couple new beasts and put you up in the area. It's basically Montana. So it was kind of cool to have this story go on and see a little bit more about that tribe. So,
and I think we know what Dungeon Master Mike's been playing.
What? No, you can't guess. Yeah, Elden Ring. I'm still in it. I'm still absolutely in awe of this game. I'm playing. So I started off as a samurai. Luke, you'll like this. Eventually, I just changed my build to dual wield two colossal greatswords.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I do a massive amount of damage. Unfortunately, though, I think this game is more geared towards magic players. So I kind of want to give that build a shot. But that would either take a brand new game or for me to kind of... There is a respec system in Elden Ring. Hmm. And I would have to find it, activate it, and potentially do a respec. And I'm not sure if I want to get rid of my dual wielding colossal greatsword, putting right. Cloud Strife to shame knight. So, yeah, but I mean, I've been playing it this entire recording, just grinding, 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 and I'm still weak. I love it.
That's awesome.
I'm a glutton for pain.
And really, the only thing I've still been playing is the Ultimate Alliance. I did start playing earlier this week. I started playing the Lego Marvel Super Heroes again because I wanted to just destroy everything. And, you know, the Lego games are fun in their own way. But I beat the final expansion stuff for Ultimate Alliance, and I got all of the characters, and I was like, oh, yes. And then I go back to the character selection screen, and they added a new gray square for a special unlock character. And I was like, God damn it. I hate you guys. I hate you guys. I was so accomplished to have everyone all filled out throughout the whole thing. But yeah, the thing is so you, when you beat the game, you get Thanos, right? But this one, when you beat the expansion with the Fantastic Four and stuff, the special unlock character is Thanos again with the Infinity Gauntlet. And I'm like, it's the same character. You didn't even give us a new character. You just put a glove on him. Awesome. But to get him, I have to beat everything on not only because the hardest difficulty that you had was superior. But once you beat it and it unlocks that, then you have to go and play the entire game again on Mighty, which is the ultimate. Or not Mighty, sorry, it is Ultimate, which is the highest difficulty level. And you have to be like max level, max level, which is 300. My highest one is like 117.
So, Luke.
I don't know. And it's all just for the completion to get the character, but I don't know if I'm going to put myself through it. But it is kind of that game. It's kind of filled that Xenoverse 2 role for me right now. Where I just am gonna, like, when I have nothing else to play or I can't decide what I want to play, I just pick that up and play it for a couple hours. So, I mean, I'll get there eventually. And then I'll feel accomplished and then also disgusted with myself because I spent that much damn time.
Mm-hmm. I know the feeling.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I have. You guys got anything you want to bring up, say, before we wrap this up?
I will note that I did, like, couple weeks ago finally beat God of War and play it, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And did you love it because it's the greatest game?
I loved it so much that I hated that I finished it, and I won Ragnarok to be here already.
did you spend time trying to beat the Valkyries?
On a couple of them, but not all of them.
You should attempt it. If you don't want to end with God of War, the Valkyries are a great, great challenge.
They're bitches.
Yeah, they might as well be Dark Souls like bosses.
Yeah,
especially Sigrun, the last one.
Oh, she was so difficult.
I kicked her butt though. Finally, I got my platinum trophy.
Good for you.
Oh man, Pat's not here to giggle when you say your line, Captain Platinum.
Which line's that?
You know, the one.
Oh, is it time to have everybody go and game harder?
Already there, my friends.
All right, guys. Bye.
Take it easy, everyone. Yeah.